Hey, I'm Ryan Wallace.
And I'm Zach Wilson.
And this is our podcast where we talk about music, everything from doo-wop to death metal.
Welcome to the show. Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of From Doo-Wop to Death Metal. I'm your host, Zachary Wilson.
And I'm Ryan Wallace.
You're also a host.
I am also a host.
Are we co-hosts?
Yes.
I never understood that, because it's like, is it a host and then a co-host, or is it two co-hosts?
I don't know, man. I guess it depends how you want to look at it.
Yeah, it's like, who's the lesser host?
Yeah. Who sucks just a little bit more?
Yeah, who sucks a little bit more? Welcome to another episode, episode 12 from Doo-Wop to Death Metal. How you been, Ryan?
Tired, man.
Yeah, how's your week going?
Gosh, I feel like every time I get on here, I'm like, oh, I'm so tired.
Well, you know what? You got a lot going on.
I do have a lot going on. Yeah, we're in the midst of a home remodel with a baby boy on the way. So this week consisted of getting the baby's floor in the room because we had the baby shower. So we wanted to get that all in there so we could get all the stuff in there and start setting up the room.
Yeah. Listeners, Ryan's house. It's a cool house. When was it built?
1970.
1970. And it looks like it was built in 1970.
Oh, yeah.
It's got all the crazy, cool appliances, which are awesome.
Yeah, yeah, weird layout. I have two living rooms. It's avocado green on the outside. It's a horrible color.
And not to mention the canal running underneath the house.
Literally underneath the house.
So,
well, you know what? We'll post some pictures because I'm proud of my yard. I love my yard.
It's got AstroTurf in the front.
Hey, the old lady that lived there first didn't want to mow the lawn. Sue a guy.
No, it's awesome. It's an awesome place. But yeah, so Ryan's been working his little fingies to the bone.
Yeah.
Getting ready for baby boy. You guys settled on a name yet?
We're teetering between Max and Mick.
Mick Jagger?
Not Mick Jagger.
Oh, what other Mick? Mick?
Come on, man. Mickey Mantle.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, see, Mick is more the baseball name. Max comes from Maxwell, as in Maxwell Silver Hammer.
What about Mick Jones?
Mick Jones, I don't. Oh,
from the Clash.
Yeah, no, there are a lot of good musicians named Mick. Turns out.
Yeah. Anyway,
listeners, send in a vote. Should we name him Max or Mick?
Yeah, you should do like a survey.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and throw that up there. Help me name my child.
Yeah, man. It's been a good week for me. I've done a lot of driving. We've been kind of driving around. We went down to Farmington last night. We went to Provo last weekend. But you know what? I actually really like driving because it gives me a chance to really sit down and listen to music, right?
Oh, yeah.
Do you ever do that? Is that what you listen to?
100%,
on long trips?
Mm-hmm.
So
what were you spinning?
Yeah, so this week when we were driving down to Provo, we listened to Kendrick Lamar's new album, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers.
Uh-huh.
And wow.
Blown away, man.
There's a lot to unpack. So check this out, listeners. We're actually doing a current event. I think this is the first current event we've actually done.
Yeah, wow. This is history.
This is history
in the making.
But yeah, we wanted to take a little bit of time and talk about our boy Kendrick Lamar and how just incredible he is. So yeah, me and my wife, we listened to Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers on the way down to Provo, and it was one of the only times that we were just completely silent.
Through the entire record,
because we were sitting there actually listening to the lyrics.
Uh-huh.
So are you a Kendrick Lamar fan?
I'm a casual Kendrick fan, yeah, absolutely.
So what do you mean by casual?
Casual in the way that, like, I didn't even know he was coming out with a new record, but when I found out that he was, I was excited to listen to it.
So are you a fan of his other music?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would say mostly the hits are like what I really listen to. This was the first time I had listened to a Kendrick album front to back. But then I went back and listened to a little bit more of his discography. And I mean, it's great. I really enjoy Kendrick and I always have. It's just that hip hop isn't like my main genre of choice.
Sure.
But if I had to choose a favorite artist in that genre, it would definitely be Kendrick.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would say that. You know, he's one of those artists that he's one of those guys that just comes around once in a generation.
Absolutely, yeah.
Right? And kind of defines what that genre is at the time.
Yeah.
He's kind of like the Daft Punk of rap.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I mean, obviously very different, but in that sense where every single time he's released an album, that's been kind of how popular rap has gone since then.
Yeah. You know, I had never even really heard of Kendrick until, what was it, 2018 when Damn came out?
Yeah.
So that's when I really got into him with like Humble and DNA.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially you being an athlete, because those two songs
they were
everywhere in the sports world. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And they were hype songs.
Yeah.
You know, when I would go do anything with my buddies, we would always like those were the songs we would play to get hyped. And so then, yeah, after I listened to that record, I went back and kind of checked him out. And he's just so unique, I feel like.
So what do you think sets him apart?
I don't even know hip hop well enough to be able to decipher what sets him apart, but I just know when I'm listening to him that there's something different. And I think it's the fact that like he can change his voice in so many different ways.
Yeah.
And there are often times that it literally just feels like the beats are happening kind of boggling around in your head. And I just think of his lines like a sewing needle just perfectly weaving through all of the beats, and just it all just lines up perfectly to my ears.
So that's funny that you say that, because you know, on Damn, you know, DNA, you know how the main refrain is that I got royalty, got loyalty inside my that's the first half of the song, right? Mm-hmm. And then it kind of changes to a more aggressive half towards the latter half. How that song was written is very unique in the rap world, because he wrote the lyrics and the flow first, and then had his DJ design a beat
around it. Interesting.
Lyrics, which that's pretty unheard of to do in the rap world.
I feel like that'd be very hard to do.
Because normally what happens is, I mean, as great as hip hop is, it can be pretty interchangeable, right?
Uh-huh.
Since there's not really usually a melody. With rap, you can kind of take the lyrics from one rap song and drop them into the beat of another song, and it still sounds good. So a lot of times when these rappers are recording, what they'll do is they'll just have a beat and then they flow over that, right? Mm-hmm. And that's just how rap has been since forever.
Always.
But Kendrick comes in and changes that. So it's like you said, right? You're kind of a casual fan, but still you can tell that there's something special about it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what sets him apart, is that even people who don't really know about him, don't really know about his music, or not, don't even really necessarily like rap, can listen to that stuff and be like, yeah, this is something special.
Yeah. I think another thing too that just clicked with me for some reason, another thing that sticks out so much about Kendrick is how real his lyrics are.
Oh, sure.
I mean, very rarely I feel like do you get a guy who can come in there and throw down these lyrics that are so real. I don't know. Sometimes I think rap is kind of cheesy.
It very much can be. Like any genre.
Yeah, just like any. I mean, do we need to talk about hair metal? You know what
do
I mean?
Do we need to talk about country?
Yeah, for real. But I just feel like Kendrick is so authentically himself that it really sets him apart, and it's hard to go wrong with any of his lyrics.
Absolutely. One thing that I can kind of compare it to is fine art, right?
Yeah.
And this may sound pretentious, right? We're going to put a disclaimer right here. A lot of this stuff may sound pretentious because we're going to dive into the artistry of the music here, but that's okay. If you don't like it, skip to the next episode. But
don't skip us. We're fun.
But you know who Jackson Pollock is?
I don't.
So he's the artist that does the splatter painting. He's really famous for like splatter paintings. So if you...
Okay. So I know the style.
He would just get brushes and splat it up on, which a lot of people think that like, oh, that doesn't take any talent. But if you were to put up a Jackson Pollock painting next to someone who's just splashing paint on a canvas,
you can tell that
you can tell the difference, because he is doing everything is purposeful about what he's doing, even though it doesn't seem like that. One of the biggest arguments I hear about rap and hip hop is people think that it doesn't take talent. Have you ever heard that?
Uh-huh.
What do you think about that?
I think they're dead wrong.
Dead wrong.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I used to be one of those guys when I was very ill-informed and young. Uh-huh. And I was just, you know, like, oh, I listen to rock music, so everything hip-hop and everything that isn't rock doesn't take any talent.
Let me stop you there. Was it because they weren't playing instruments?
No, I think it was because back then I thought that throw down a beat and some lyrics and anybody could quote talk unquote their way around the song. It took me years and actually like having friends that were really into hip hop and listening to hip hop through them to realize like, oh, this isn't something that just anybody can do. And actually the guy who changed my mind was Ice Cube.
Okay.
I started listening to Ice Cube and I was like, dude, this is sick.
Oh, Ice Cube. Was it on the Are We There Yet soundtrack?
No.
Can we talk about Ice Cube for a second?
Is he like frowned upon or what? Because I feel like nobody takes him seriously.
Well, he made it so nobody can take him seriously by starring in some of the worst movies ever.
You take it back.
He was in Friday.
Friday is phenomenal.
But then like Are We There Yet? Have you ever seen
Friday?
I never have.
Oh, no.
I need to.
You do need to.
But
Chris Tucker, man.
But I mean, going from being an NWA to starring in Are We There Yet, it's hard not to make fun of the guy, right?
It was a bit silly.
It's a bit jarring. Anyway, back to Kendrick, right?
Yeah, kind of a parallel. They're both from Compton.
Yeah, they're both from Compton. Yeah, so a lot of people think that rapping doesn't take talent, but it's so insanely tough.
So, and actually going back to your point of like the whole abstract art analogy, Kendrick is actually, what is it, the Pulitzer Prize? Is that what it's called?
Yep.
He's the only non-jazz or classical musician to ever win that.
So, yeah, let's just take a second and talk about this, actually. The album you mentioned, it's called Damn.
Mm-hmm.
If I understand right, it was kind of a shortening of the idea of damned if I do, damned if I don't, that saying. Amazing album. And granted, this is one of his more mainstream albums. This one has all the big hits on it. But the writing was so good on this that it won a Pulitzer Prize. A rap album won a Pulitzer Prize.
Well, and I think too, because it was so powerful with its messages. I mean, there's that iconic story of like the dude who was inspired to be a better Christian due to the album. That's not something that you typically come across in the hip hop world, you know?
No, not at all.
I think hip hop has kind of gained a reputation for, I don't know how to put this, I guess maybe negativity or
absolutely
negative subject matter.
Absolutely.
So it's pretty incredible that all these things happened with that album.
Well, not only that, but he was also given an award. I can't remember what the exact name of the award was, but by the state of California, he was recognized as a positive influence to children.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's so cool.
Yeah.
And he was so humble about it,
too. Well, and he's a good dude.
Yeah.
Like that's a thing that you cannot forget about Kendrick, is he is genuinely a good dude.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, anybody who thinks that rap doesn't take talent needs to give this guy a listen. Mm-hmm. And I recognize, you know, hip-hop's not for everyone. I completely get that. But if you have any sort of inkling, you've probably already heard Kendrick Lamar before. I guarantee it. But
well, he did the whole Black Panther soundtrack.
Which
and
that was also
awesome. It was phenomenal. And that movie was so huge that I would doubt that nobody or somebody has never heard of Kendrick.
So, getting back to his new album, did you listen to it? Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers?
I did, yeah.
Kind of an interesting album because he's been signed on to Top Dog Entertainment. That's his record label. And that's what he's released all his big releases on. And he said that this is his final album with Top Dog Entertainment.
Mm.
Now, whether that means like he's done or he's just starting to do it independently, that's remained to be seen.
So I don't really know, like with a hip hop artist going from a label like that to independent, how jarring would that be? Is it going to make that much of a difference with his music or?
I don't think with him. I mean, he's gotten to the point where he's considered one of the greatest of all time. So mm-hmm. I think people are going to listen to his music regardless. If anything, I think Top Dog's just probably a little sad that they're losing him.
Yeah.
But at the same time, even if he is retiring, he deserves to retire.
Like, yeah.
It would be fine.
Relatively short career that would be, right?
Yeah, he's only like 32, something like that, 33. He really broke onto the scene with Good Kid, Mad City back in like, what was that, 2012?
Yeah, sometime around there.
So yeah, not too long of a career, but has made more of an impact than most people do in three times that length.
Maybe that's why he was at the Super Bowl.
What did you think of that Super Bowl?
I loved it.
It was awesome.
I freaking loved it, man. Are you kidding me? When Fitty came out and he was hanging upside down, I'm like, that's my boy.
That was my least favorite part. I was never a fan of 50 Cent, right? So it's like, what are you doing here? Stand on your feet.
Come on. You got to respect Fitty, though.
Why? Why do I got to respect Fitty?
Because he's awesome.
I don't know.
He's been shot.
That makes him cool?
The fact that he lived, yeah.
I've known some people that got shot and they weren't cool, man. No, it's yeah, that Super Bowl was cool.
It was cool. I was questioning though, like in the moment you've got all these OGs and then Kendrick came out.
Yeah.
And I don't know, how did you feel about that when Kendrick came out?
It was kind of jarring.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah, because his style is so different from the original West Coast style mm-hmm. of 50 or what's his name?
Jay-Z. Snoop.
No, not Jay-Z. What's his name?
Gosh, Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre.
Dr. Dre. Gosh, man. Oh, I'm losing all my credibility here.
I knew something about hip hop.
But yeah, I mean, Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg, they kind of started that West Coast mm-hmm. style, right? And they were the really big names in there. And then Kendrick comes along and he's still very West Coast, but in a new era.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like a delineation right there in the halftime show where he comes out and it all of a sudden becomes artistic, you know?
So you were a fan of it, though.
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. The whole thing, throughout the whole thing. And then Anderson .Paak came on, the drums.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it was so good.
I saw a lot of people had beef. Well, not even necessarily beef, but maybe just a question mark surrounding why Kendrick was there.
I can see that.
And I don't know. I want to get your perspective on that because, like, I get it. He's not, like, an OG like Snoop and Dr. Dre. But
Eminem.
And Eminem, yeah. But I don't know. I didn't feel like it was crazy out of place or anything.
I felt like it was out of place, but at the same time, I didn't care.
Yeah, that's fair.
I probably wouldn't have missed it if he wasn't there, but I'm glad he was. I don't know. It was kind of weird. That makes sense now that I think about it. Like, yeah, because it was kind of celebrating the old school, old school hip hop, right? Which Kendrick Lamar doesn't really belong to, but I don't know.
So let me ask you this then. There's a lot of goat talk when it comes to Kendrick.
The goat. That word is thrown around so much.
It is.
Way too easily. If you don't know what that means, it stands for the greatest of all time.
Mm-hmm. Mostly used in sports.
A lot of times it's used in music too, though. Mm-hmm. It's thrown around way too much.
Where do you weigh in on this? And if it's not Kendrick, who do you think it is?
That's a hard question. It depends, you know? I don't think you can take... It's just like any genre, right? I don't think you can take the genre as a whole and say this one artist is the greatest to ever be in that genre. Because within rap, there's so many different subgenres, right? It's just like rock.
Yeah.
So it's hard to say that Kendrick Lamar is the greatest rapper of all time when he's over here kind of doing his own artistic thing, where you get people who arguably are better lyricists than him, arguably are faster than him or have better mic technique. You know, it's hard to say.
Mm.
A lot of people, when it comes to rap, they think speed is everything. You ever heard people say that old Busta Rhymes is one of the greatest of all times?
Like, yeah,
he's talented. He's not the greatest of all time.
No,
absolutely. He can go fast, but no, that's not what makes someone great. What makes Kendrick so good is that he kind of does a little bit of everything so well.
Mm-hmm.
So you get lyricists like Nas, like Rakim, right? Or like the guys from Tribe Called Quest, like Q-Tip, right? Where these guys are known for being incredible lyricists.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as speed goes, they don't have it. You know, they're lacking in other things. But I feel like Kendrick has proven throughout his career that he can do all that.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
So as far as the greatest of all time, I think maybe he is.
Okay.
I don't know if that's a hot take. I'm probably the popular opinion with that right now.
I don't know if it is a hot take. So the two names that I see thrown around most when we're talking greatest of all time are Kendrick and Eminem.
See, I don't know. Eminem's got crazy talent, but as far as his music, I'm not a huge fan.
Really?
Yeah, his backing tracks, his actual music, it just doesn't do it for me.
I see, and I'm kind of the opposite end of the spectrum on this one. I think I think I have like a higher amount of respect for Kendrick, like as a person and about what he does. But I think on a purely musical sense, I think I like M stuff better.
Why?
I don't know. It could simply be that that's what I grew up with. And I did kind of used to be into hip hop when I was younger. And so it could simply be that when I was into hip hop, I was into Eminem. And so it just worked for me at the time. Whereas I'm kind of catching Kendrick on the back end and I'm not like super into hip hop anymore. So it really could just be timing. I don't know.
You know what I think it is? You're an athlete.
Expound.
So Eminem, you know, as talented as he is, he's always kind of fallen into the get pumped tracks. What's his most famous song?
Lose Yourself, Lose Baby. Yourself.
How many times have you heard that played at a sports event?
Has there ever been a sporting event that hasn't played that song?
And that's my thing. It's like, that's a great song, but cool it.
Yeah. You know, I think you're right, actually, because Kendrick's stuff, like, I mean, Humble was pretty hype, but...
But he didn't write it for that.
No, no, but it just was, you know, and there's not a lot of other stuff from him that, like, I don't know, I mean, like, Mad City, kind of, I guess.
So, I kind of view hip-hop almost as two different camps. If I could just separate all of hip-hop into two different genres, it's the artistic hip-hop and the get-pumped hip-hop.
Okay, that, I like that.
You know?
That makes sense to me, yeah.
Because you get stuff like Fort Minor,
mm-hmm.
The Remember the Name.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just too highbrow. Maybe I'm too pretentious. And it's probably come from the fact that I was never really an athlete, but it's like that kind of stuff just kind of makes me roll my eyes a little bit.
Yeah, it's a bit. I mean, that kind of goes back to like the cheesy end of rap that I was talking about earlier. Yeah.
Where it's like, I just need to work harder and be tough.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I don't disagree with you, even though I feel like I actually do connect with that stuff a little bit more.
A lot of people do. It's the bravado. It makes you feel big and strong.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And that's the purpose that it serves. But I've always been more into stuff that kind of makes you think a little bit.
So what about like the song Beautiful by Eminem?
Okay, so yeah, Beautiful by Eminem. I'm not saying that Eminem doesn't have deeper tracks, right?
You're just talking kind of the bulk of his stuff.
It's just what he's known for.
Yeah.
Which is funny because when I think of Eminem, the stuff that I really like from him is his older stuff. Like when he first got started.
Mm.
When he first got discovered by old Dr. Dre.
Like Kim.
Or Stan.
Yeah.
But even like the what my name is.
Mm-hmm.
Back when he was the nasally voice singing like this and mm-hmm. just had funny, goofy raps that were like all of a sudden, oh, weird, you know? It's because it was unique.
Yeah,
it
was.
For the time, it was really unique. I think he's just too angry, man. It comes to a point, and you get this a lot in hip-hop, and this is something I kind of want to talk about with Kendrick, so I'll get to that. But at what point do you look at these guys and be like, okay, your life is amazing now.
What are you still angry about?
What are you still angry about?
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about Eminem. He's defined his career as the angry guy.
And it's almost like he has to keep working up ways to make himself angry.
Well, it's like, yeah, he had a very, very tough upbringing. He come from the ghettos of Detroit.
Yeah.
And horrible, horrible childhood and upbringing, right? So, yeah, it makes sense that he wanted to get out of that and has all this residual feeling. But for the past 30 years, he's been living like a king.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of seemed like after Recovery, really.
Yeah.
What else? I don't know.
It's kind of like, sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine.
It's kind of like what we talked about last week with do these athletes or do these musicians really have the right to bring up these social issues, right?
Right.
Obviously, yeah. We don't know what's going on in their heads. But at the same time, I feel like Eminem hasn't really shown progression as an artist because he's kind of just stuck doing the same thing. It's like Taylor Swift. She sings about being the crazy ex-girlfriend. That's her thing.
Yeah.
And then Eminem sings about being the angry dude.
Angry drug addict.
Yeah, and that's his thing.
I do wonder, though, if artists sometimes get trapped because of their fans. I mean, I feel like naturally, yes. You know, definitely that happens. But I think it happens to others more than other people. And I feel like Eminem is kind of one of those guys because, I don't know, I feel like he tried to kind of branch out for a little while and wasn't all that successful. Like, what was that one? Kamikaze? Or is that what it was called?
See, now, that's the one I like.
Oh, did you?
Because it was different. Mm. The one that had the Beastie, that ripped off the Beastie Boys cover.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I kind of felt like that one didn't, and it'd be interesting to actually look up and see if it did, but I felt like I didn't hear as much about it, or it wasn't as critically well-recepted.
Yeah, I mean, definitely not, but it's interesting that you bring up fans. It's because I personally believe that fan clubs are some of the worst things to happen to an artist.
Mm, good take.
Because an artist tries to change, and the fans do not let them.
Yeah.
How many times have you heard about that?
Oh, almost every single big artist ever.
I mean, look at Lady Gaga.
Mm-hmm.
One of the most talented women out there. You ever heard her actually sing and actually play the piano?
I have, actually, yeah.
She kind of reminds you of old school Elton John, where she's just slamming the crap out of this piano and just belting. And she's got insane,
very powerful voice.
Insane talent. But she makes crappy pop music.
Yeah.
Because that's what her fans expect.
And you can
her.
Tell she wants to break out. I mean, she even performed with Metallica.
Yeah.
Which, you know, for a lady in pop music is unheard of.
Yeah. And so her fans, the little monsters, they know what they want. That's what they call themselves.
They anytime, want rum, ma, 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 ma.
Yeah. Anytime you get a fan club that names itself, that's when you need to be like, okay, let's take a step back.
What about if the artist names the fan club?
Does that happen?
The Kiss Army.
Did they name that?
They did.
Hmm,
but well, it's Gene Simmons, dude.
It's Kiss, man. You got to love Kiss. They're in a different, they're up there with the, they're the goats.
Yeah.
No, but what, kind of along those same lines, one thing I love so much about Kendrick Lamar is his progression as an artist and his personal progression. So he's released kind of his four big ones, right? So there was Good Kid, Mad City back in about 2012. There was To Pimp a Butterfly in what, 14?
Yeah, sounds about
right. Probably butchering these dates, and there's going to be a Kendrick Lamar fan that's just screaming at his phone right now. So I'm sorry.
Sorry, Bradley.
So, To Pimp a Butterfly, which is my personal favorite, and then Damn, and then now,
Mr. Morale.
Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. I didn't sleep well last night.
Yeah, you look tired, man. You got the bags under your eyes.
Oh, my gosh. I went to work today.
Oh, you poor guy.
But, so, Good Kid, Mad City is more about him growing up in Compton.
Mm-hmm.
In the kind of the ghettos of South Central LA. Dude came from nothing. He was very, very pretty bad childhood. Had a lot of super bad influences, as you might imagine. Gang violence was all around him, and he was pressured on all sides to join gangs. Good Kid, Mad City kind of shows that what it was like to be a teenager in Compton as a black teenager, right? So it was a lot of really kind of upbeat stuff mixed with a lot of introspective, kind of deep, like, Temptations.
Yeah.
You know? So the two songs that I always think of from that album are one called Backseat Freestyle. You ever heard that one?
Yeah.
Where the lyric says, I pray my gets big as the Eiffel Tower.
Uh-huh.
Where it's like, it's just like kids being stupid, teenage boys being stupid.
Yeah. So I can F the world for 24 hours.
72 hours.
Oh, 72 hours.
24, you weak. Yeah.
That's,
I mean,
a lot,
just
man.
Ridiculous lyrics, but it works.
Right.
Because it's the vibe of the song.
Mm-hmm.
But then also you get a song like Swimming Pools, where it's all about his struggles with alcohol addiction as a teenager.
Mm.
I mean, on the same album to have two songs of that dichotomy is pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So that album's kind of about him growing up and becoming a young man. And then he puts out To Pimp a Butterfly. What do you think of that album?
I haven't listened to it enough to even really have an opinion, honestly. What do you think about it?
That's in my top five albums of all time.
Convince me.
You like jazz?
You like jazz? Of course.
Then you would love this album. So he works really closely with Thundercat, with Flying Lotus, and creates the music that is just so dense. There's even songs on there that are him rapping over free jazz.
Oh, cool.
And it works so well.
I bet that would be crazy hard.
Listen to the song, the For Free interlude.
Okay.
It's a filthy song. But holy cow, it's got some of the most insanely intricate rapping you'll ever hear. And it's all on top of this free jazz, like trumpet solo, like bebop style jazz.
Mm.
And that one, you get songs like All Right, which we talked about last week being like the unofficial anthem of the Black Lives Matter movement. Mm-hmm. Incredible song. You also get songs like I, which is such a personal anthem of self-worth and self-love.
Yeah, I know that song too, actually.
Such a good song, right? But an interesting theme in that one is survivor's guilt. Have you ever heard about that?
Just from what you told me, was it last week? I can't remember, but just the little that you said about it, right? About how he almost feels guilty for making it out.
Yeah, he feels guilty about making it out of the hood, which...
Interesting concept, and a concept that not a lot of people even have to think about.
I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I hesitate to talk about it because it's not something that I really understand.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of content in that album of him kind of dealing with these demons of how are the people back in the hood thinking of me? You know, do they hate me? Do they respect me? And how, where do I fit in?
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting going from Good Kid, Mad City to that album and then to Damn, right? You get all the free jazz, all the political stuff out of the way. You slip straight into Damn, which still has plenty of political stuff in there, but it's more of a pop album. You're getting guest stars like Rihanna on there. Mm-hmm.
Right? Yeah.
You're producing the bangers for the sports anthems. Yeah. And he's showing like he is the king.
Mm-hmm.
Where that's kind of him at the top of his bravado, where you listen to the lyrics of DNA and Humble, and they're very, very self-confident.
Yeah.
You know? Which is exactly why they became sports anthems.
Mm.
It's the confidence. It's the bravado, yeah. Right? And then 5 years goes by, and we get Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers.
So, and that was a big deal, right? The 5 years, because isn't that like a gargantuan amount of time in the hip-hop world?
Especially for hip-hop, yeah. It's huge. But that's what Kendrick does, man. He takes his time. He does not put out bad stuff.
And he plays by his own rules.
Yep. I mean, that's the mark of a really, really good band or a really, really good singer is if they have massive gaps between their albums.
Yeah, for numerous reasons, really. I mean, the fact that he was able to disappear for 5 years, I mean, not disappear, you know, he made appearances on features and obviously the Super Bowl, but
Black Panther,
but to not put anything official out for over 5 years and then be as relevant as he was the day that he left. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, everyone was anxiously waiting. Whether they admit it or not, the whole musical world was just on pins and needles waiting for Kendrick to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that by the way the world has reacted to this album.
Yeah. So where do you rank this album among all of them?
Well, that's a hard question because it's personally not my favorite. I still love Old To Pimp a Butterfly. That's probably my favorite. But as far as lyrical content, I think it's probably the best. To kind of finish my thought of what I was thinking before, going from Damn, which is this huge banger of confidence bravado, to the insane humility of Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. It is one of the most humble rap albums I've ever heard.
Really?
Yeah. If you listen to the lyrics, it's all about him talking about his mental health and his past traumas and his, it's like a therapy session for
him. And how he's growing as a human. I did notice that as a...
How he's trying to become a better father and a better husband. He talks about his fiance all the time. She's mentioned throughout the entire thing about how he wants to be a better person for her. Yeah. It's talking about him overcoming his transphobia with his family. It's talking about him...
Which is a... That song has received very mixed reviews, by the way. Have you seen all the stuff surrounding that?
Well, yeah.
I mean, we don't need to dig too deep into that, but I felt like that was kind of interesting because you've got polarizing opinions on both sides of the fence on that one, which to me is kind of a sign of a pretty powerful song.
I agree.
What was the song where he talks about the first time he has sex with a white woman? I've actually got it pulled up right here. I was just listening to it on the way over here.
Yeah.
It actually was Worldwide Steppers.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was the song. I was kind of just like chilling in bed, you know, threw on the album, kind of more than anything in preparation for this episode. But when that song came on, man, it
gets you.
It gets you. It really does because, I mean... Obviously, like as a white person, there's no way to put myself in those shoes or really have any opinion on the matter. But it's just more than anything, I think, interesting to hear his take on it because there are no metaphors. You know what I mean? That man just says exactly what he's feeling about that situation and outlines it very plainly.
Yeah, he doesn't hold back.
He doesn't hold back. At all.
There's no metaphors. There's no beating around the bush, which I think for someone of his fame to do that.
Pretty wild.
That takes some balls, man.
Especially because the things he said in there are pretty pretty hairy. You know what I mean? He throws down.
I mean, that song, but what comes to my mind is all the songs about the mental health and past trauma.
Yeah.
There's one on there where he goes and talks about childhood traumas where he may or may not have been, you know, sexually abused by a cousin. And then finds out that his mother was a victim of sexual abuse and his thoughts on that and going back and forth on whether why no one believed him or why they did believe him, you know, and it's really dense. It's really
thick. It's a heavy listen. It's a heavy listen.
It's not a fun album at all.
No. But yeah.
Most good things are they challenge you.
Yeah.
You know, that one, when he starts saying like, I set free all this guilt, I set free my pain, my suffering. I'm getting rid of it. That one brought me to tears.
Yeah.
Just because it's so powerful to hear someone that you respect so much saying like, it's okay to feel this way. Just set it free.
Yeah.
So the vulnerability he shows and the humility he shows is just mind blowing.
Yeah.
From someone of his stature.
Wild dude.
Like what's crazy to me is how does someone like that not get a God complex?
Yeah.
There's videos of him. I've seen a couple of videos where he's on stage and he just stops singing and the whole entire stadium will sing his song back to him. Imagine yourself in that situation, right? How would you not feel like a god? Yeah. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And to have someone like that put out this record that is just so insanely humble and so vulnerable and open. It's really inspiring.
Yeah, pioneering, really.
I mean, obviously, he's not the first one to be vulnerable on a record, but at the same time, modern hip-hop doesn't have that.
Well, and has there ever been anybody of his stature being that vulnerable?
I don't know. I can't think of anyone right now. But I've, you know, I love reading YouTube comments.
And one of them, isn't that a sickness? It's a sickness. I'll be like watching the video and I'll be scrolling the comments and I'll be like, ah, shoot, I missed the last 5 minutes.
Because some of them are just clever, man. Some people are comedic geniuses that need to be recognized, but right? All they're doing is doing YouTube comments.
Yeah.
Anyway, there was one that said, oh man, Kendrick's going to have us all facing our inner demons this year. And it's like, that's exactly what I hope happens.
Yeah.
You think about his other albums. To Pimp a Butterfly got people thinking about social issues, right? I hope this album gets people to start thinking about their mental health and start addressing it, start going to therapy. Myself, I'm a huge advocate for mental health awareness because I struggle with a lot myself. I struggle with pretty bad anxiety, right? And to hear that, you know, I'm not alone, that a guy that I idolize goes through the exact same thing,
yeah,
is so beautiful. I don't know. Getting a little deep here.
Well, I mean, that's kind of one of the beautiful things about music, you know? I think that's, I don't know, even deeper than this album or deeper than Kendrick, I think that's why we all cling to the things that we cling to, you know? I clung to the Beatles, I clung to Metallica because I relate to those guys. And sure. And it kind of makes you feel like, you know what, I can do this. You know, like, I don't know, maybe my life's not so bad. Maybe I can figure this thing out.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really a beautiful thing. When you find a song that changes your life.
Yeah. Like one time my junior year of high school, my girlfriend broke up with me.
Yeah.
And so I binged the song Wasting Time by 4 Year Strong. So that's kind of what you're talking about, right?
Absolutely. I mean, nobody should ever tell you that you're mental health situation is not valid, that the way that you're feeling is not valid. And if a song makes you feel something, and anybody tries to tell you that you shouldn't feel that way, tell them to go to hell.
Yeah, even if you're a 16-year-old boy crying into your pillow, just listening to the song and just weeping because your girlfriend left you and you thought you were going to marry her in high school.
Especially if you're that situation. Especially, man. If just I could go back and give you a hug, I would. Listen to For You're Strong with you, I would. You know, that's one of the biggest reasons I love hip-hop so much is because people throughout all race, all gender, all times have found it relatable.
Yeah.
There's always something in there that you can pick out and you can say that resonates with me. And that's what makes music good. That's what makes art worth listening to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't know. I love hip hop. If you can't tell, I'm a huge hip hop fan.
Yeah.
I think it's beautiful. And anybody who thinks that it's not talented, that it doesn't take talent to do, can come talk to me about it.
So it's kind of ironic we're talking about this Kendrick album right now because I was hanging out with my buddy. His name is Monson Brown, for anybody who wants to look him up. But I just
send him a message.
Yeah, send him a message. But I just found out that he does like stone carving.
Really?
Like, how unique is that, man? I think that's so awesome. But he does abstract stone carving. And the thing that I thought was so cool about it is like there are a lot of times that you'll look at art and it just kind of is what it is. You know, it doesn't really move you. Whereas I'm not kidding and I'm not just trying to give him a plug for the sake of giving him a plug. Like you look at his art and it's so abstract and so obscure, but it makes you feel something inside. You know, you look at it and you're like, oh man, I don't even get it, but I feel it. That is kind of how I feel about this Kendrick Lamar album. I don't even really get it.
And it's not something that I think you or I really can understand.
No. So I don't get it, but in a weird way, I feel it. You know what I mean?
And that's what's so beautiful about it is we don't really understand it, but that's okay.
Yeah.
There's not, I mean, we've talked a lot about musical gatekeeping. With good hip hop, there's not something that's holding us back from enjoying it just because we don't fully understand it.
Yeah.
Because the messages don't completely resonate with us like they would resonate with somebody else.
Right.
We can get what we need from it. Somebody else gets what they need from it.
Yep.
That's what good art is.
Up to interpretation.
Yeah. It's different for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it doesn't make sense to anybody but the person who produced it, that's perfect too.
Right.
So I guess kind of along those lines, the message of this is like, be a little bit more critical about what you're listening to. How does it make you feel? If you're listening to music to listen to music, to have background noise, that's good. But find a song that makes you feel something and try to figure out what that is.
Dude, and I'll tell you, man, like it really is different. So I mean, like on a different level, because as we've talked about, I don't really get a lot of hip hop, but like songs that I do get, like Rubber Soul by the Beatles, that whole album, things that I do understand and things that do kind of pertain a little bit more to my life directly. People, go out and find something. Like I know that we have a lot of people that listen to this podcast that are kind of just casual music listeners, but you're like, oh, these guys are freaking awesome and kind of hot, so like I'll listen to them.
Got a sexy voice. Yeah.
But for real though, go out there and find some music. This is the challenge for the week. Go find something, whether it be a record or even just a single song, that makes you feel something. And like Zach said, identify the feeling and just kind of let yourself soak in that feeling for a little bit.
Let yourself feel it. I mean, I think we live in a world where it's on to the next thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're such short attention spans is that we hear something and we don't really have time to process it before something else comes along and takes the place of what we just heard.
Yep.
Don't let that happen.
I'm talking plug in your headphones, close your eyes, and just absorb the song. I'm telling you, man, there's a reason that I switched. As much as I love baseball, there's a reason that I switched at a certain point in my life, and that's because music was able to make me feel something that I had never felt before, and it was so compelling that I'm, 10, 15 years down the road, and I still haven't shifted from it.
Yeah, music is powerful. It's helped people through bad times. It's brought people back from the edge of suicide.
Yeah.
It's saved people's lives.
It's been used in wartime.
It's been used in wartime. It's the most powerful thing that we as humans have to communicate, in my opinion.
I completely agree.
So like Ryan said, please find something that moves you and internalize it and let that song make you a better person.
And for the love of everything holy, if I don't get at least 5 Facebook messages this week from you people absorbing yourself in music and texting us and telling us what you absorbed yourself in, I'm going to freak out, man. I don't even know what I'm going to do, but I'm going to freak out. I'm going to break something. So unless you want me to break something, send us a message.
Send us a message, man. How do people send us messages?
Well, all you got to do is head onto our Facebook page or our Instagram page. Both of the handles are at @DoUpToDeathMetal. And on Facebook, there's just a nifty little button that you click and it says send message. And you just type a message and then you click send and we get it.
Now, do people need internet for that?
Yes.
Okay. I think I understand.
Now, do you guys understand? Because I got to tell you, we haven't received any messages and I'm pretty bummed out about it.
So log on to your internet, send us a message, and while you're there, like our Facebook and Instagram pages and send us an email at fromdoouptodeathmetal@gmail.com. And you know what? If you guys enjoy the podcast, a perfect way to show your appreciation is by leaving us a good review on Apple Music, leaving us a good rating on Spotify, whatever you're listening to this on, and tell a friend.
Tell a friend. Tell all your friends.
And check out our playlists. One thing we do want to mention about the playlists. While we try to keep our show as family friendly as possible, the music that we put onto the playlist every week isn't necessarily family friendly. Ryan and I both feel that censored music shouldn't really exist. just a basic warning, you know, if you're listening to the music, some of those songs might be explicit. Just a warning, especially this week because we're doing hip hop.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, go check those out. Those are fun to listen to. We update those every week, but until then, like Ryan said, find something that moves you, and we will see you next week.
We love you all. See you soon.
Very much.